And now we read in Acts chapter 13. And in chapter 13 of Acts, and at verse 7, we read about a man who is the proconsul, he's the governor of the island of Cyprus on behalf of the Roman Empire. Sergius Paulus is his rather impressive name. And we're told in verse 7, the proconsul was an intelligent man. He sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But he was an intelligent man. And the word that Luke uses, writing in Greek, of course, for the word intelligent here is a very specific word. Very much means what we mean by intelligence, the ability to acquire and to understand and to use knowledge. That's intelligence. And that's what we're thinking about this morning. So when we've been thinking about personality, we've always asked about our personality. Like when we're doing extroversion or introversion, we asked, are you an extrovert? Are you an introvert? Got to be a bit more sensitive here this morning. Because I can't just say, well, are you smart or are you dumb? And who's going to own up if they don't think they're very smart? Because, of course, intelligence is something that is very highly rated in our society. And yet the fact is that half of the population of our society has below average intelligence. Intelligence is usually measured on a scale where 100 is the average point. And it happens that the spread of intelligence is roughly the same on either side of 100. So if we are a representative group of people, then half of us have below average intelligence. And half of us have above average intelligence. And those of you who are really smart will have spotted that I've put myself in both categories there, because I'm not very smart and I can't be in both categories. But anyway, something to think about, isn't it? Quite a big thing, this intelligence has a big bearing on our lives, just in the way that we've already seen that personality has a big bearing on our lives. It's not something we can do a great deal about, like personality. It tends to run in families a bit, and if you've had an upbringing in which your brain has been nourished well, you've had good nutrition when you're young, you've been protected from environmental toxins, and you've been given a stimulating environment, then that's probably helped a bit. But largely intelligence is something that is inborn. And it really does segregate our society. People, especially with a lower intelligence, are disadvantaged greatly in society because society is increasingly complicated. Our society requires many skills to navigate well. You need to be able to deal with technology. You need to be able to fill forms. You need to be able to find your way around the complex social structures of society. The workplace is complicated. There are financial decisions to be made that are complicated. And if you are not so well endowed with intelligence, it can all be very difficult indeed and leave you in a position where you need the help of others. So to have high intelligence is something that will certainly make it easier to get through life with less inconvenience, with less challenge. But of course, that's not all that really matters. And we're thinking today about how two intelligent men, whom we're going to look at, Sergius Paulus and his attendant, who's called Bar-Jesus, two intelligent men, are actually really very dumb and very dark in the way their lives are. And yet, it's when the gospel comes, it's when Paul and Barnabas bring the good news about Jesus, that they actually begin to really understand, or certainly one of them does, what life is about. And we thank God that it's not therefore about intelligence when it comes to knowing Him. Many really excellent Christians would not rate highly on the intelligence scale, maybe have few qualifications in terms of their education or in terms of work, but they still have something that many very intelligent people don't have, and that is they're taught by God. They have the wisdom of God, the wisdom which is from above, which James speaks about and says it's pure, it's peace-loving, it's considerate, it's submissive, it's full of mercy and good fruit, it's impartial and sincere. These are beautiful things that come from God and are not dependent on intelligence. You can read about that in James chapter 3 and verse 17. And if you happen to be very intelligent, you need to realize that that's not a license for you to throw your brain around, as it were, and your great thoughts around. It's actually a heavy responsibility to have intelligence, to have, it's a great privilege. Jesus said, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And so, if you're a Christian with a high intelligence, it's something that you need to lay at the disposal of God Himself. And so, intelligence is not something that is as highly rated by God as it is in our society. Intelligence is not something that the Bible generally says anything about. Luke just happens to note that this man was intelligent, but he's also showing us how foolish he was at the same time. Sometimes intelligent people really miss the mark. Sometimes, for example, they think that their intelligence makes them superior. If you're very intelligent, if your IQ, as they measure it, is over 130, which puts you in the top 2% of society, you'll know it. You'll know that you're a lot smarter than most people. But does that make you a better person? Does that make you a superior person? Does that make you better in the eyes of the God who gave you that particular gift? Of course it doesn't. And what often happens is that very intelligent people actually fail to understand very basic things, like how difficult it is for many people who are not so intelligent to deal with the challenges of society. And they may say things like, to people who are not so intelligent, like, get on your bike, get your act together. And it's just not so easy. Because if you happen to be in the 2% of the population whose IQ is below 70, then that level of intelligence means that life is always going to be a challenge in a complex world. And people need to use, who have more intelligence, need to use their intelligence to help those who have less. And it doesn't make them any better. Let's have a look at two intelligent guys then. Let's have a look at these two men, Paul and Barnabas, who themselves are, well, Paul is certainly a man whose mind has been rated even by secular thinkers as one of the first-rate minds of the ancient world. But they come across The people of Cyprus, they're travelling around Cyprus very thoroughly, bringing the good news, evangelising Cyprus, until they come to the capital. They come to Paphos. And there's verse 6 tells us they meet a sorcerer, a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet. So he's got a Jewish name, Bar-Jesus. Bar means son of Jesus. Jesus, not being the son of Mary and Joseph Jesus, but Jesus was a really common name because it was the common Jewish name, Joshua, meaning Savior or salvation. So this man is a son of salvation, if you like, but in reality, Paul says in verse 10, he's a child of the devil. And we'll see why in a minute. But anyway, this man, who is obviously a great man in his own right, even though he's a false prophet and a sorcerer, is the attendant of, verse 7, the proconsul. That's the Roman governor, the most important man in terms of authority on Cyprus. He's called Sergius Paulus. And the proconsul is an intelligent man, it says. Now, what sort of things would you find are true of intelligent people? Well, we can see a few things from Sergius Paulus. The first is that intelligent people tend to have jobs that require intelligence. That maybe sounds obvious, but the reality is that your IQ is going to be among the greatest predictors of the kind of job that you'll have in life. Professional and technical workers in our society will on average have an IQ of about 25 points above unskilled workers. The British Army screens with an intelligence test, and those that do particularly well are put in the way of officer training. And so here we have this intelligent man, and lo and behold, his intelligence has allowed him to rise up the ranks until he's governing the whole island of Cyprus. That's a fact. Your intelligence will determine, to a great extent, the job that you do in life. Intelligent people also like intelligent company. They like people they can discuss deep things with. And so Sergius Paulus has this attendant by the name of Bar-Jesus, who's also called Elymas. This attendant, and this man Bar-Jesus is obviously a man of considerable intellect, although he perhaps doesn't use it in the most beneficial ways. He's clever. He's able to have power over people by his sorcery, whatever the source of his sorcery is. We don't think that this means he's a conjurer. He's not a magician. This man is using occult powers for what he does. He's a false prophet as well by that means. He's a man, as verse 10 says, full of deceit and trickery. Yeah, he's a slippery character. He uses his great intelligence, but he uses it for evil. And he uses it to have power over Sergius Paulus. Sergius Paulus is fascinated by this Elymas, this Bar-Jesus. Intelligent people like intelligent company, but sometimes the intelligent company that they choose doesn't actually help them to become better people, like here. Intelligent people also like ideas. They like to think. They like new ideas, and new ideas have come to Cyprus. The new ideas that Barnabas and Paul are bringing, what is called by Luke the Word of God. So the proconsul, verse 7, calls Barnabas and Saul because he wants to hear the Word of God. Now, of course, for some people, what we call the gospel of Jesus, it's just enough for them to know that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. For many people, that's enough. But for others, they will wrestle. For others, they will struggle with spiritual questions. They will wrestle until they get intellectually satisfying answers. And I think that Sergius Paulus is a man like that. He likes to think things through. He's an intelligent man. But for all the great benefits of intelligence for this man, Sergius Paulus, we must recognize that being smart is not the same as being right. Being smart is not the same as being right. There are many people in our Western society particularly, well, in developed societies generally in the world, who are pursuing at the moment the goal of increasing human intelligence. Now, as it happens, human intelligence is gradually increasing anyway, for various reasons. But they want to increase human intelligence massively. And whether they're going to do it by augmenting our natural intelligence through drug treatments or through connecting us to machines in some way, they're determined to do this because their idea is that if we're really, really smart, we'll be able to solve all our problems and we'll be able to figure out how to save ourselves from everything that's wrong and bad in our society. But this story tells us a different way of looking at things. Here's two very smart guys, but they're in a mess. And we can all think of very smart people who are in a mess. Very smart people who are addicted to something or other. Very smart people who nevertheless make really bad decisions in their lives. So intelligence is not all it's cracked up to be. Intelligence might get you into Mensa, but it won't get you into heaven. If you can't get into Mensa because you've not got sufficient intelligence, you can still get into heaven. These two men might have got into Mensa, but they're in darkness. Sorcery, false prophecy, verse 6, verse 8, Elymas is trying to turn the proconsul from the faith. He's arguing against Paul and Barnabas, using his intellect to oppose the truth. Verse 10, he's a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that is right, full of all kinds of deceit and trickery, perverting the right ways of the Lord. What a mess! His intelligence has allowed him to pursue evil with great ingenuity. Just in the same way that a criminal mastermind might use their great wit in order to devise ways of doing wrong. So that's what's happened with Elymas. His smartness has had him pursue a path of evil, so that he's obscuring the light from himself and he's obscuring the light from others. He's argued himself and he's got himself into a position where he's blind to the good news of God in Jesus Christ, and where he's trying to blind others, like Sergius Paulus. Sometimes intelligence can be our worst enemy. Sometimes intelligent people become conceited. They become smart in their own eyes. They think that they are the answer to all their questions. They think that they can answer all their questions themselves. They think that their answers are the right answers because they're smarter than others, and so they must be right. And actually, like Elymas here, they can be full of deceit and trickery, corrupting and corrupting themselves. So we need to look at ourselves today. We might be half of us below, half of us above the average intelligence, but does that really count for more than anything else? No, it doesn't. Maybe, like Sergius Paulus, we need to have our eyes opened, and we need to have our hearts opened, And the curious thing is that what actually enables Sergius Paulus to see is when his attendant, Bar-Jesus, stops being able to see. Because under the authority of God, Paul is able to say to Elymas, you're going to be blind. And he is blind. He becomes blind for a time. He gropes about, verse 11, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. The power of the Lord Jesus, the power of the Spirit, is seen in a miraculous way on this occasion. And Sergius Paulus, when he sees what's happened, and when he thinks over all that he's discussed and talked about with Paul and with Barnabas, he realizes that he spent the whole of his life up to that point being duped, being misled, being darkened in his understanding by people like Bar-Jesus. And he needs to get away from that kind of company. He needs to repent. What kind of company do we keep? Do we think that keeping the company of intelligent people, keeping the company of those who are smart, or following what intelligent people say, is what we need to do more than anything else? Or indeed, do we think that we're smart ourselves and think that because of that we can figure everything out? Sometimes intelligence, as this story shows, can actually be an obstacle to the truth. Here's an intelligent man, Sergius Paulus, and his intelligence leads him to seek out similarly intelligent people, and he finds Bar-Jesus, and that's the worst trouble possible. He's listening to these false prophecies, he's been impressed by the sorcery, the deceit and the trickery, and he's in darkness. It could be that today, like Sergius Paulus, we need to repent and ask God's forgiveness for thinking we're smart, or for thinking that what we need is to be smart, or for thinking that what we need is to put our confidence in people who are smart. The reality is quite different. The reality is what we really need is what God has done in his smartness, in his wisdom for us. God is more intelligent than we can ever even begin to imagine or understand. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher than our thoughts could possibly be. And God has figured out what we need. What we need is not IQ. What we need is Jesus. We need a Savior who died on a cross for our sins, not a Savior with an IQ of 150. We don't need someone to figure out how to fix the problems that beset us every day. We need someone to figure out how our sins can be forgiven and how we can enjoy the life of God in our lives forever. And God has done that for us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we see in the end that the problem that we face is not a lack of intelligence. It's a moral problem. It's not that Sergius Paulus just isn't smart enough. It's that he's bad. It's not that Elymas isn't smart enough. It's that he's bad. And they need forgiveness. And they need to meet with God. And we're the same. Our intelligence or our lack of it is not the issue. It's the moral problem that says that we think we can figure things out for ourselves, or if we can't figure them out for ourselves, we think we know someone who can. When all the time, what we really need is a Savior. And what happens at the end of the story is that when the light shines into the proconsul's mind when he realizes, when his sorcerer friend, when his trickery and his deceitful and tricksy friend, Bar Jesus, is exposed as a man in darkness. The proconsul realizes that all along he's been trusting in this smart attendant. He's been selling himself to slavery under the mind of this smart guy, Bar Jesus. And he's been in darkness. And now comes the light with Paul and Barnabas, the light of Jesus, the light of God sending his Son to live for us, to die for us, to rise again. And verse 12, when he sees what's happened and when he hears the word of God, it says, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. It's a lovely word, that word, amazed. When Luke wrote it, the word that he used literally means it just knocked him out. It knocked him out. What he heard about Jesus, it just knocked him out. It just bowled him over. It just truly stunned him. And that's what we need to realize. For all this world is at an unprecedented level of intelligence and of knowledge and of investigation and research and thinking and philosophy and all the rest of it, the thing that will really knock us out is to know our sins forgiven through Jesus Christ. Two intelligent men, they hear the same teaching. They're both intelligent, but it's not their intelligence that leads the way for them, because one of them accepts the teaching and the other, we think, rejects it. What is the difference between these two men? In the end, the difference is that one of them bows his life to God's greater wisdom and the other does not. Which will you do? Which are you doing in your life just now? Are you trying to figure it out for yourself? Trying to use your intelligence or depend on other people's intelligence to answer all your problems? Or are you bowing your mind, your life, your all before the one who really is smart, the one who really does have the answers, and the one who's told us what the answers are in his word, the living God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, loved us and gave himself for us to bring people of all intelligence, of all levels of intelligence, into the life and the joy of fellowship with God. May that be what we each share in the days ahead. Amen.